position of the Israelites in. Let you find us faithful, Lord, in giving you with the glory and which you rightly deserve, Lord. Just watch over us this morning, rest this morning service, and hope it is glorifying to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, we're back in Malachi, at least for 1 week here. We'll have a Christmas-themed message next week, next Sunday, Lord willing. But today's passage is addressed to priests specifically. And in it, they are given two main responsibilities. And so that is really the title of my passage here this morning, Priestly Responsibilities. Obviously, what we're going to look at here isn't all of their responsibilities, but really this is the foundational responsibilities of a priest. Now, we noted last time we were together here in Malachi that they and the people whom they were serving were dishonoring God in a number of ways. By offering to him their worst instead of their best. The people were simply following the example of the priests. And so in our passage today, God does address them directly. But lest you think that this does not apply to us, we must remember that the people were following the priest's bad example and should not have been. And so the two main responsibilities that we are given here this morning are responsibilities for us as well. And just to bring this into a New Testament church context so that we can see it applies to us, I want to quote to you 1 Peter 2:9. Which says to us, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the responsibilities, these main responsibilities that we're going to look at here this morning apply to us. They very much apply to us, and you'll definitely see that as we look at them. But I want to start off here this morning just by sharing with you some of my Sunday morning responsibilities. And I want to preface this by saying that I'm not telling you this because I think what I do on a Sunday morning is too much. I'm not telling you this because I want someone else to do a few of these things, because I don't. I actually like doing them my way. And I'm not even telling you this because I want advice on how to do it better. All right. And so I'll share my purpose in telling you this here when I'm done with my list. But this is most of what I do every Sunday morning, okay? I come in and I turn on all of the lights in the main sections of the building. I go through and I set all of the thermostats to the desired temperatures. I go and I make the coffee and hot water for tea. As I've received the bulletin from Kim, who puts that all together, I add any late updates, and then I print the bulletins. And then I'll go get the mail, and I'll deliver that to whoever it needs to go to. As I like to speak to people face-to-face, I will oftentimes make a list of people that I need to talk to at some point this morning, all right? Whether that be for a prayer request that they had, just to see how things were going, or to invite them to something, or to ask them if they'd be willing to do something. Okay, I also list out everything else I need to get done by the end of that day so that I don't forget to do it. And then I will sit at my desk and I will have a time of prayer as I review my sermon notes and make any necessary edits that the Spirit might lead me to make. And then I pray a little bit more, and then I go and I unlock the doors as people are beginning to get here and arrive for music practice and do the things that they need to do for service. And my guess is you might have a list of tasks like that, perhaps similar, every Sunday morning or maybe every morning when you get up. Well, here is my point in bringing this up. It is not uncommon that as worship service then begins, and as we start singing our praises to God, that my mind will begin to wander to things like, I wonder if that person that I needed to talk to is here today. To things like, it feels a little warm in here. Did I forget to adjust one of the thermostats? Oh, is so-and-so here today? This sermon might be difficult for them. All right. There was that announcement I needed to make, and I forgot to make that when I was up there earlier. All right. And then, we'll invite somebody over for lunch or whatever. I'm like, I didn't even ask them if they had any food allergies. I hope what we're serving them doesn't kill them. But that's what my mind starts doing. It starts wandering in the middle of a song that we're singing to the Lord. My mind will run like that, and I find myself at some point having to remind myself, you know, Craig, right now, you're here to worship God. You're here to worship God. I'm here to serve His people. I'm here to proclaim and even hear His word and honor Him. Right now, in the midst of our time of worship, that needs to be the priority. That needs to be my focus. The truth of the matter is, that should really always be our main focus. Truth of the matter is, it should be yours as well. Yes, other things are important. Tasks do need to get done, but they should never override nor replace what is truly the most important. And that is the love of our Lord, loving Him in return for the love that He has showered upon us. Honoring God, remembering why we do what we do. For the priests in our passage, honoring God had left the building. They were all about the task to the degree that what they did had just become a job. Let's do as little as possible. Take as many shortcuts as we can. Let's make this as easy as we can so we can get through it. Let's preach a simple feel-good message and get through this so that we can have the rest of our day. In fact, let's start even earlier in the morning so we can have our day sooner. That last one isn't in our passage. I just threw it in for spite. Because we're often guilty of that sort of thinking. I want the rest of my day. Let's just get through this. Well, in our passage, God is going to call these priests out on some rather specific failings. In fact, actually, what we're looking at today, the specific failings actually come before and after what we're looking at. He will address a few of them. But within our passage today, in the verses we're going to look at, we also learn the two most important responsibilities of a priest. The two most important responsibilities of those of serving God, okay? So our subject is priestly responsibilities. We're going to be looking at actually verses 1 through 9 of Malachi chapter 2. And here's the very first responsibility. Again, this is foundational, all right? This is where it has to begin. But our first responsibility as a servant of our God is serve from the heart. Serve from the heart. This isn't a job. This isn't a task. This is us doing what we are doing because our Lord is in love with us and we are in love with our Lord. You see, there's nothing wrong with the many tasks themselves if we do them for the right reasons. So what is serving from the heart? I mean, the heart is an organ that pumps blood through our body, so does it mean that our service should be to the degree that we get a little cardio out of it? No. Hey, you're not even breaking a sweat. Serve harder, right? No, our heart, of course, represents our innermost being. It is from where, really, we receive the motivation to do everything that we do, and even the reason to do what we do. I've used this as an illustration before, but Janine, my wife, she has a servant's heart. She is a wonderful servant, and I scratch my head at this sometimes, but she absolutely loves to serve me. And I love that about her, okay? And within that, she loves to serve me food. It's a beautiful thing. And for lunch, sometimes she will serve me sandwiches. But like the rest of us, there are times when she does it from the heart and sometimes not. And I will tell you that I can tell by looking at the sandwich whether she made it from the heart or not. All right, if it's stacked to the degree that I can hardly fit it in my mouth, she made it with love. If it's some peanut butter and jelly scraped on a slab of bread, maybe not so much. But there is a reason. There is a reason that the heart, even the heart shape, is universally representative of love. And it's because it is from where we receive our motivation to do things. And God tells these priests to serve from the heart. And this is for us too. So if you're in Malachi, look at the two verses that Jeff just read again. He says, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart." Your ministry, priests, you're not doing this because you love me. You're doing this just because you're doing it. And I dare say that the most blessed worship services we have here at River Valley Bible Church are when the vast majority of us together in sincerity from the heart worship and glorify our God. And I would dare say that the most disjointed, disconnected services that we might have here at River Valley Bible Church is when we're distracted, self-involved, thinking about other things, careless. That's where these priests were. And God says, "I've cursed your services already because of that, and I'm going to continue to do so." And so, by implication, from our passage here, we must serve for the glory of God's name. It's us serving in a way that what we are doing is so from the heart that God wants His name on it. He wants His name on it. You see, He made us. He made Himself known to us. He provides for us. He loves us. He has gone to extremes to make that love known to us. He wants desperately a relationship with us. He wants desperately fellowship and communion with us. He sent His own Son to die and take the penalty for sin that we deserve so that we could obtain that through faith, through simple, childlike faith in Him. And now all He wants is that we love Him in return. By first of all receiving that gift that He offers, and then living life as an expression of love back to Him. Doing everything that we do to point others to our loving God so that they can love Him too. People need to know their Creator. They need to know their God. In Romans 12:1, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We must serve for the glory of God's name. The priests were not doing that. And God says this then in verses 3 and 4. He says, behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts. Can you just hear the sarcasm there? And one will take you away with it. And you shall know that I've sent this commandment to you that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. What a vivid picture. These servants were producing garbage in their service to the Lord. And God basically says, I'm going to take that garbage and spread it on your faces so that everybody can know the value of what you're doing. So that someone might notice the desecration and take the trash out, namely you. For they were not what God designed the Levitical priesthood to be. And God says, I've cursed your services already because of that. And I will continue to do so. And then also, by implication, we must serve in the fear of God's name. Look at verse 5 now. He says, my covenant was with him, and he's talking about Levi there. He says, my covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. And this fear, of course, speaks of respect. And right here is God is telling these priests, serve me from the heart, because that is how I served you. That is how I designed this priesthood, this Levitical priesthood to go. I made a promise to you. I promised you life and peace. I gave that to you as a free gift because I love you. And all I ask, all I'm asking is that you love me in return. Express it to me. In respectful service from the heart. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. You and I, the things that we do, even the menial tasks that we do, they're not a replacement of worshiping God. We're able to actually do those things in worship of God. Do them as unto the Lord. So the priests here, you and I even, are told, serve from the heart. May everything we do, do it as a representation of our love in return to the Lord for how He's loved us. Here's the second responsibility. Speak from the truth. And that's it. There's the two responsibilities. Serve from the heart and speak from the truth. Those are the two main important, the foundational responsibilities that you have in doing everything that we do. Serve from the heart and speak from the truth. One of the biggest questions in the world is, why is there evil? Why does evil exist? And I'm bringing this up because evil is the reason that we don't serve our Lord the way we should. Evil is the reason we don't speak from the truth the way we should. But the world asks this question, why is there evil? Why does evil exist? And it's a good question. It's really a good question. A question, I might add, that the world or even unbelievers in God don't have an answer to at all. We can ask them, you tell me, why does evil exist? Okay. And, they'll say, well, if they say it's just the nature of man, well, they're actually agreeing with God here. All right. But it is puzzling. We have this battle going on inside of us. It is puzzling, but really it can be and is simply answered in God's Word. Why do we not do the things that we should? Well, because of evil. Why does evil exist? Well, love requires a choice. God created us in love, and He created us to love Him in return. And it is a choice, because if we make somebody love us, well, that's not love at all. That's abuse, actually. So God created man with the ability to choose to love Him or not. And by nature, man chooses not to. That's where evil comes from. Which also means that God must be the standard then of what is good. We can't know what is evil without knowing what is good. We must have something to compare it to, and that something is a someone, God. God's Word reveals God's good nature. The law of God reveals the truth, His goodness, and the things that violate and are contrary to His goodness. In fact, Romans 3:20 says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law not only shows us God's standard and what we should be doing, but it shows us that we're not doing it. The law is the knowledge of sin, and the truth of the law reveals then what is evil and the good nature of God. All of that to say, a priest of God, a representative of God, must speak from the nature of God. Not only are we to do it from the heart, but we're to do it from the truth. We're to communicate the goodness of God to everyone. That's how we are to serve. That is what God wants us to do. It's a responsibility of ours. Back in Malachi chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we're told there that Levi and the priesthood he represented were supposed to do that, as are we. Let's read it. It says of Levi, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. Okay, for the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. How do we speak from the truth? Well, the obvious one is through the statements we say. The things that we say. It says the law of truth was in his mouth, in Levi's mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. This is the priest, the servant of God, proclaiming what is right, what is good, what is true. It's the priest proclaiming what is right from what is wrong, what is true from what is false, what is honorable from what is shameful, what is good from what is evil. These priests were just justifying, however, these priests, not the ones that, not the original Levi here, okay, Levitical priesthood, but these priests now were just justifying their own evil actions. And apparently telling people, yeah, what I'm doing is right. We do it through the statements we say. And then we do it through the way we walk. They were to be living the truth. The end of that passage there says, he walked with me in peace and equity. Or actually the middle of the passage, he walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. In other words, Levi lived as God desired him to live. And as a result, many followed him right out of the false into the truth. I remember vividly as a new believer listening. I just met my pastor. We started going there, and I remember vividly, as a new believer, listening to my pastor and then watching him after the service or in any opportunity I could get to see if he really lived what he said. I watched him closely, and he did. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most nurturing things for my spiritual maturity. And according to our passage, Levi, the original Levitical priesthood, Levi, beginning with him, he did it. And he did it in two ways. He did it by keeping the truth. He knew it well, and he lived it out in his life. And then it also says that he shared it. The people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. As he lived it, he shared it. He spoke the truth in love. That was Levi and the priesthood he represented. That is who we should be. That is who these priests should have been. And so we are also given a two-part warning by way of what these current priests were doing wrong. The warning is don't depart from the truth. Verse 8 said that they had. Look at verse 8. It says, but you have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. They weren't living by the truth. They would say one thing, and even that was oftentimes wrong, but they would say one thing and then do something entirely different. They themselves were disobeying God's word, and the people saw it, and they followed suit. That's why they're being condemned here. I mean, how confusing would it be if I preached to you, don't steal, and then you learned that I was cheating on my taxes. What a terrible thing. I pray that you wouldn't stumble because of that, that you would recognize that Pastor Craig's messed up. Call me out on it. But they departed from the truth, and the warning to us is don't depart from the truth. This is the standard of right and wrong. This is what we need to keep. This is what we need to speak. This is what we need to share. Don't depart from the truth. And the second part of the warning, excuse me, is don't diminish the truth. Verse 9 says, therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Meaning, they would preach some parts of it, but not others. And it makes me wonder if the parts that they didn't preach were the parts they were guilty of. Right? I don't want people to know that. They would pick and choose what scripture was important in their eyes and what scripture was not. That's partiality. That's diminishing it. Perhaps they stopped preaching on the passages about whatever sin they were committing. Showing partiality in the law is a common practice in much of the church today. If you've been with us on Wednesday nights in our Bible study, many of the topics we've been looking at Wednesday evenings are the result of diminishing the truth, twisting it to make it say what we want it to say, pulling it out of context, ignoring some parts and reading the others. You don't get to decide that. Our responsibility is to speak from the truth through our words and actions. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is very much a flagship type passage of scripture that tells us about the importance of the truth of God's word. Listen to it. It says, all scripture, all of it, all scripture, this is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Means that it came from his mouth. And then it says, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the servant of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's us doing it from the heart. That is us speaking from the truth. Speak from the truth in your words and actions. Serve from the heart. I guess that's my message to us this morning. These priests are being rebuked because they weren't. That is a responsibility of all of God's children. For that is exactly who Jesus is and what he did and what he called us to be. A few passages here in closing. One I read to you earlier already, but Paul says, I beseech you in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Even those menial tasks that we do for other people, you're really doing them for the Lord. And then Philippians 2:3-5 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, we're doing that for him because he did it for us. Father, I thank you for this passage of scripture here in Malachi. And I'm even grateful for your exposing of their failures so that we could learn from them. Lord, I pray that we would not become complacent, careless children of yours who do what we do just because it's what we're supposed to do, just a job, just a task, but rather all of those things that you lay before us, Lord, that we would do them from the heart as unto you. And fathers, as far as the truth goes, as we have your word here and we can look into it, we live in a very, very privileged time, a time of the printing press, a time of digital print, to where we have your word at our fingertips. Lord, we don't even have an excuse to not speak the truth because we can know it. So, Lord God, I pray we would. I pray, Lord God, that we would not only learn what your word says, but speak it to those around us. That we would be a proclamation of you who called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. That we would esteem others better than ourselves. That we would do everything as unto the Lord. That we would live our lives as a living sacrifice to you. So, Lord God, we thank you for this passage and the application we could gain by it. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.